Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back on the Jeff Cochran Show. It's good with Chris Herrington.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's Chris Herrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's How Many More Years by Howlin' Wolf, recorded in Memphis, but released on the Chicago-based Chess Records. Soon before Howlin' Wolf moved from the Memphis area to Chicago, probably the most prominent musical connection between those two cities, who face off in basketball tonight.
All right. Before I get to current Grizz, I wouldn't have figured Bonzi Wells to be the sentimental type, but here Grizz history tweeted out yesterday, on this day in 2003, the Grizzlies traded Wesley Person and a 2004 first-round pick to the Portland Trail Blazers for Bonzi Wells. Bonzi retweeted it. Well, I remember this day. I was so sad after being traded for the first time until I got to Memphis, and the love I was shown every day was incredible. Two hearts, he emojis there. And this now has been, I retweeted it, and it has been liked 799 times. This is from a man who was barred from the building at the end of his tenure here. What do you recall of Bonzi Wells? Did you like that deal when it happened?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the outcome ended up being with that pick. But, Wesley Person was a good player, good three-point shooter. But Bonzi Wells was definitely better. And, there was that sense of, this is going to be a playoff team now, and Jerry West is trying to make it better. And so, yeah, I think everybody liked that deal when it happened.
Was that the first playoff team? Was that the...
I don't remember whether it happened in the middle of that 50-win season or it happened the next year. I think it happened in that 50-win season. I'm pretty sure.
Which was the first season.
At one point, team had Mike Miller, Bonzi Wells, James Posey, and Shane Battier. There's no star there, but that's a really deep cast of wings. I think the Grizzlies during the grit and grind years would have loved to have had that as their wing rotation, right?
I remember Shane was... did not like the acquisition of Bonzi. He was going to play. Bonzi was a much more dynamic player than Shane. And, I like Shane, but Bonzi much better. He was a scorer, which is Shane was not. And
well, it's interesting this, because Bonzi was a slasher, sort of a power wing, isolation player. Mike Miller was an elite shooter and a good ball handler. Shane Battier was your classic 3-and-D guy. And James Posey was both a defender and a slasher. So you had a real mix of sort of different styles and different attributes there.
If you could take one of those guys and put them on this year's team going forward, who would you like?
Miller. I think shooting just means so much. And with Miller, not only is he an elite shooter, but he's a good secondary ball handler. He'd give you another good ball handler and passer out there too. So I think Miller would be my answer.
Bonzi would be good, though, honestly. Bonzi would.
Sure.
Bonzi would certainly help. Anyway, it was a blast from the past yesterday. All right, so the hits keep coming. We have now Brandon Clark is out week to week. Your thoughts?
It's a bummer. You don't get to see Brandon Clark. And that's one of the people, when you're thinking about, A, what you want to see, and B, what you want the team to do in terms of its evaluation and development. That's how you want to see more of, not less of. And so you don't want anybody to get hurt, but if you had a pecking order, he would be near the bottom of that list in terms of guys you want to see out. But it's a long season and a long career. And so, they'll take their time with it. It's always going to happen. Guys aren't going to play 82 games. Guys are going to get hurt.
Do you think he is, by the way, do they still have, is it called the Rising Stars game? They still have the Rising Stars game at the All-Star?
Yeah, I don't know if they call it that, but they still have some kind of rookie-sophomore game. Yeah,
rookie-sophomore game. Obviously, Ja will go if he's healthy. Brandon Clark, yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
clearly.
I mean, he's arguably a top-5 rookie so far this year, certainly top 7 or 8 or whatever. So, yes, he would definitely play.
Who else you got? The two on Miami, is that?
Yeah, R.J. Barrett would play. P.J. Washington from Charlotte would be in that game. Probably Kobe White from Chicago, who we'll see tonight.
Yep.
Maybe DeAndre Hunter from Atlanta, who's come on a little bit.
Oh, okay. Anyway, two other things I wanted to get to. One is the Houston Rockets had a dunk last night, and the dunk did not count, and the dunk should have count. Shockingly, ESPN has reported that the Rockets are hopeful that they will either give the Rockets the win or replay the game. Both of those things seem absolutely preposterous to me. It's just a missed call, isn't it? Like any other missed call?
Yeah, no. You cannot give them the win. Like, that cannot happen.
It's ridiculous.
And I don't think you can replay anything. I know. I just think, you know, too bad. Like, you know, it-ish happens, basically, right?
Yes.
And so, no, like, it's a bummer. It's a, what was it, 130-something, 130-something? I know it was a 2-point or 1-point game, but that's one basket out of like a bazillion baskets. And so, like, you had your chances.
It's no different than missing a goaltending call. Should have counted, right? I mean, it's you get a goaltending call wrong. Yes, that's exactly attributable to 2 points, was whatever. But it's no, you don't get it. It was exactly right. Ish happens. Too much happened after that. Makes no sense whatsoever. And then Zion is evidently sort of, is he working? I guess he's working out now. He is. Maybe make his return before the new year. Obviously, we want him back by the MLK game. When Zion comes back, what do you make of the Pelicans? And when Zion comes back...
It's funny you should ask that today, because I think today's the day that I finally given up on the Pelicans. I thought all season that they still had a very good chance to make the playoffs. And in fact, even as of like a week ago, I still would have predicted them to make the playoffs just because I think the 7 and 8 seeds in the West are so squishy. And you look at the other teams with a chance to jump up, like, you know, the Falcons, the Blazers, the Spurs, the Kings, whatever, they're the only team that's getting Zion Williamson. And so I still thought that team had the talent level that once they added him, they could get back in that mix and have a very good chance to get one of those playoff spots. But they've just done such a poor job of keeping it afloat without him. And that loss they took at home last night to Dallas was almost a backbreaker to me. It could still happen, but I wonder at some point if they decide it's better to be bad and add another high pick to go with Zion than to bring him back and try to make a big run for the playoffs.
They are right now 12 games out of first. So Phoenix is 8. So they're 4 games back of Phoenix. It is damn squishy, though. I mean, you got Phoenix at 9 and 10. You've got Sacramento then the next at 8 and 11. It's not like there's a whole bunch of teams you have to jump over in the West.
I mean, the only teams I would totally cross off are the Warriors or the Grizzlies. And after that, like, I felt that the Thunder and the Spurs, I would cross off, I think, before the Pelicans. But I really thought the Pelicans would be at least a couple games better than they are right now, even without Zion.
Do we believe, so right now, the only teams that are worse than the Grizzlies in the West, you said before the season began that the Grizzlies would be the worst team in the West. That was before Steph went out and before Zion went out. And sure enough, the only two teams in the West that are worse than the Grizzlies by percentage points anyway, right now, Golden State and New Orleans. Will both of those teams finish above the Grizzlies?
I think the Warriors are pretty bad and likely to stay pretty bad. I wonder if we'll see Clay at all.
We will see Steph, though, won't we? Or are we not going to see Steph?
Probably, but I think they'll take it easy on him. I think that they have reached the point of no return where they would much rather have the number one pick than win 35 games. And so I think you could see the classic Spurs. I know there's no Tim Duncan in this draft, but you can see the classic, like, Spurs go for Tim Duncan, flat out tanking going on, even when they're able to bring guys back. The
interesting thing is, how does that play out? It's probably a double standard, honestly, because it's Steph and the Warriors and whatever else. But in this day and age where we're cognizant of keeping – there's a sensitivity to keeping players out who can play, right? We know that the league is invested in players who can play playing. Are they allowed to just say to Steph, if he's ready to play, come back next year?
I mean, I don't know what, how the league will deal with it. My attitude is sort of – I mean, that team has gone to, was it four finals in a row?
Right.
And you look at all the mileage they built. That's like, that's almost an entire extra season of basketball. And for a small guard like Steph Curry, who's had injury issues over the years and is, you know, on the other side of 30, given all that wear and tear, I think it's defensible for them to sit him down.
That's make a good point. Okay, so the last two right now, 7 and 8, are Minnesota and Phoenix. It is amazing that Minnesota has lost two games to the Grizzlies. And embarrassing for that franchise. It's just astonishing. But anyway, are they? Who do you think will end up? Which of that
cluster
7 and 8?
I like Phoenix more than Minnesota.
You like Phoenix more than Minnesota? And then who among the other? Portland? Portland sort of getting there. You like the next one?
Yeah, I mean, a week ago, I would have predicted Phoenix and New Orleans. And now I've gotten more wobbly with New Orleans. I do think Portland – I think Phoenix gets one of the two spots, and I think the last spot is Minnesota, New Orleans, and Portland, and it's one of those three.
All right. Who are you having on your – I gather you're doing podcast. Are you doing a podcast?
I forgot about Sacramento. Sacramento's in that mix, too.
Right there. You have a podcast today? Anyone we should be looking forward to hearing
from?
Yeah,
I'm standing here in the lobby of the Daily Memphian offices waiting for Chris Vernon to drive up, and we're going to – go upstairs and talk.
All right. So people can listen to that later. We will let you go in the meantime. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.